Thanks for watching another edition of About Stout. We are well into another exciting academic year at UW-Stout, and the pace of life certainly has picked up. Joining me today is Chancellor Charles W. Sorensen, who is leading UW-Stout for a 20th year. Welcome, Chancellor.
Good to be here.
Joining us a little later will be Michael Lubke, the president of the Stout Student Association. We will get Mike's perspective on some issues from the students' viewpoint. Chancellor, the big recent news on campus is the action recently by the Board of Regents that will rename the Library Learning Center on campus after your predecessor, Chancellor Emeritus Bob Swanson. Can you discuss a little bit about the reasons behind the push to rename the Library Learning Center? And then we'll talk a little about Chancellor Emeritus Swanson as well.
Well, Bob is an extraordinary man, and a man who began his career here as a freshman and wound up as chancellor and did a lot to reform the school. And for that reason, we wanted to honor Bob, and we did so by taking the most important building on campus, I think, the very soul of who we are, the library, and named it after him.
A lot of terms have been used since this news came out about Bob Swanson, but a couple of them are honesty and integrity. And obviously, you came in right after him. Did you get that sense when you came into office that those were a couple of the hallmarks of Bob Swanson's administration?
Yeah, I did. And Bob had taken over the school, the leadership in 1972, I think, something like that. I think he epitomized to me the way he treated me was with honesty and integrity. He didn't interfere with my chancellorship. He didn't come to see me and try to say, this is the direction you should take or continue. Bob stepped back in a very gracious way and allowed me to fulfill my role here as chancellor. So I think that, and everyone I ever talked to, graduates or students or his colleagues, that when he was here would reflect that he was a very honest man, great integrity. When Bob said something, you could believe what he said.
He oversaw this campus in some very tumultuous times.
He did.
I mean, the late 60s, 70s, and early 80s.
That's right.
And it sounds like, I mean, he guided things with a very even hand. He was calm, cool, collected, and was able to persevere and made some significant improvements on campus.
Always. You know, Bob took over in 72, and the legacy of the Vietnam War was still there. Campus were still in a state of unrest. And Bob did provide very stable leadership. He did introduce new programs. He did introduce the whole issue of tech transfer in a significant way here. Strengthened, I think, the corporate relationships, strengthened career placement so that the Career Placement Center became a very important office here. So Bob did a lot of very good things, but that calm, steady leadership was so critical in the early 1970s.
And he also laid the groundwork for the information technology boom that obviously you took over and expanded upon greatly.
That's right. Bob understood technology very, very well. He invented a machine, as a matter of fact, a plastic molding machine, I think. And so Bob was very aware of technology, very aware of the future of technology, and promoted that here.
Yes. And so in November, we'll rename the Library Learning Center.
That's right. The Robert E. Swanson.
Is the mission of the library going to change, though, because of that?
No, it won't. We named the building, actually. The building has multiple uses right now. The library is one of those. But the library is changing, I'll say that. The digital world, it will change the library and how we identify and define what the library is. But it remains the very soul of who we are for teaching, for research, for students engaged in learning. So it won't be a fundamental shift at all, just a real recognition that this man played a very important role at this campus and he directed it toward the 21st century.
We just recently completed a whole series of our listening sessions that we have every fall that is very much a part of our strategic planning process that's ongoing here at Stout. You obviously presided over every one of those and then sat and listened to both faculty, staff, and students, what they had to say. What are two or three of the key points you think that you gleaned out of those sessions?
Well, I would say, first of all, we have the most inclusive process for planning that any school has in Wisconsin. I would think almost the country. We listened to right around 500 people in 8 sessions on what they thought the issues were for Stout around information technology, enrollment planning, reorganization. So we do include a lot of people. In fact, one school came to visit us a couple of years ago, one of our sister schools, to look at what we did, and they walked away saying, we can't do that, it's way, way too much work. So, I mean, it is, it's an awful lot of work for a lot of people, but it's effective. I think, first of all, I came away with a sense that our faculty and staff and student body are very engaged in the future of this campus. They're very proud of it. They have very insightful comments to make about it, and they really want to see this campus go from being very good to becoming a very great campus. That's my first impression of that. Secondly, they understand the issues of the future. They understand information technology, and they ask tough questions about how we should shape that for the future. And they know it's an integral part of what we are doing and have to do. And yet, what I heard loud and clear was humanize it as much as possible too. Don't become simply a virtual campus, but make sure we have that good human contact. I think thirdly, the campus is very aware that change has to take place, that if you're going to be a school of the 21st century, you must be able to shift and change, be flexible, be agile. And I heard that loud and clear. They understand why we have to reshape and realign our programs, and they're quite willing to and have been engaged in how we do that. So I think we had a very positive 8 sessions, very positive 8 sessions.
You take what you heard in these listening sessions, then what comes next?
What comes next is simply we write everything down. We began to review these at my advisory council level, look at the themes that come out of these sessions. Themes always emerge from these. We give those back to the colleges, and they use them in their planning. The unique thing about this year is we're looking at a visioning session for 2008 with stakeholders. We'll invite about 100 stakeholders. June or July, whatever it is, from about 15 different areas around of stakeholder interests. They'll come spend a day with us or a half a day and tell us what they think the future should be. So much of our discussion this year was how do we shape the vision session for 2008, and that will shape what we do for UW-Stout 2015. But it's widely shared, discussed, and it leads toward a summer retreat where we do then look at the future of Stout at the retreat and what the priorities should be.
How does this very involved process, how does this make UW-Stout better?
I think that
What would a student see that's an improvement because of it, or how would a faculty member or a staff member?
Well, I think the face-to-face contact, we listen to them very carefully, has reshaped the school. For example, in 1997, we made a decision that we had to build a first-class infrastructure for technology. We did that.
Right.
We built a first-class network. From that came the whole issue of the laptop, discussing how do we use a network to better the educational process for students. We adopted the laptop in 1999. So we listened to what people had to say, and actually then around that, create a priority and then fund that priority. The unique thing about Stout is we don't have priorities unless we have money behind that. We do walk the talk, and that's reshaped this campus in a very fundamental way. Program development, we knew we had to have that. So we fund teams, look at brand new programs for the 21st century, and then fund those programs and put those in place. So we listen, and then we create priorities and then implement.
We just had over 300 employers on campus for 3 days that came here basically to interview, to talk to our students.
That's right.
And probably get a lot of good job prospects.
Yes.
Get a lot of job prospects. So you spent a lot of time over at our Memorial Student Center talking to these employers.
Yep, I did.
What impressed you the most about what you either heard from the employers or the students when you were over there?
Well, it's a very fun occasion because in 3 days we brought in over 300 companies.
From all over the country.
All over the country. I talked to folks from California, from Colorado, from Texas. And what's exciting is they came here for a reason. Our graduates are sought after nationwide in areas that, of our majors. So we had construction companies from California, Texas, coming up here to look at our construction majors and hire them. What impressed me, though, is the the image that we have out there in the professional world, in the areas of our majors. We're highly respected. We have people coming here that say, I want to hire your graduates because they come to us prepared to work the very first day. We don't have to retrain them. They're problem solvers. They're hard workers. On more than one occasion, I've heard, we like your graduates because of the work ethic of Upper Wisconsin. So I came away very impressed, very energized by how the private sector and public sector looks at our graduates. It's really a great experience.
Obviously, this is a very big undertaking for our career services operation here.
Right.
They put together, I mean, it's very well organized. It's very well... But it also is probably plays a large part into why we have a 97% placement rate. I mean, if a student graduates from UW-Stout, they're going to get a job.
That's right.
It's almost guaranteed.
Exactly. I think that they do a great job organizing that. But I have to say that Lamont Mine allows students to organize that.
Yes,
so it's really a student-organized event.
Yeah.
That is one of the best probably in the country today for employers to come to a campus and look at graduates.
And talking to the employers, they appreciate how well organized it is, and they also appreciate just the quality of student. I mean, everybody shows up, they're very professional
for
to talk to them, et cetera.
And one more fun thing about it is that a lot of our alums who are out there in the professions working are sent back to recruit students from Stout. So we get a chance to see alums each of the 3 days and talk to them and their successes. And they're enthused, they're successful.
As I said in the opening, we have just started our new academic year. We're about a month into it or so. Looks like we have really solid admission numbers this fall. Did they meet your expectations?
Yeah, they did. We're at target in every category, up in some categories. We're up a bit in transfers, up a bit in graduate students.
Transfers came in surprisingly high.
Returning students quite high. Freshmen almost right on target. We're about 8,435 or 40 headcount, and we're pushing toward 8,500 by 2010. So we're going to reach that target. So I'm pleased with that.
Okay. Why do you think, obviously, there's a lot of competition these days for students. Why do you think UW-Stout's been so successful, at least in the past and hopefully in the future, in getting the new students here?
Well, I think we're very focused on our majors. We don't offer all things to all people, but what we offer, we do a good job in instruction and research with them. Placement rate has to impress the parents of prospective students. They know that when they come here, their child will get a job upon graduation. That's very important. We have a very professional staff in the admissions office. We have great faculty who talk to these young people when they come to campus. So we sell the total campus. We have great student affairs. We have good extramural activities for students to participate in. So we try and sell the total campus, and they do a good job at that.
Thanks. We'll be back in a couple minutes with our guest, Mike Lupke. Joining us now is Mike Lupke, president of the Stout Student Association, the student government organization on campus. Mike is a senior in manufacturing engineering program here, and he's from Neillsville, Wisconsin. And this is his fourth year in student government. He's spent a lot of time in student government. Thanks for joining us today, Mike.
Thanks.
Let's just talk a little personally about some things. Obviously, you're from sort of the area. Clark County is an area that we do attract quite a few students from. What attracted you to Stout?
Well, when I was a junior in high school, a lady from the Applied Math and Computer Science program came and spoke to my class. And I enjoy math a lot, so I decided to come. I also have a lifelong friend.
We find that around the table here. Both of us enjoy math quite a bit.
Unusual, right?
Quite a bit. Yeah, you're in good company here.
Yeah, well, one of my lifelong friends came here for the same program as well, and he recommended it. So that was another reason I came. It's also a smaller school. You know, the faculty are more personal. You're not going to sit in a class with 350 kids. It's, you know, anywhere from 10, 15, 20. 40 on the high end. So.
Yeah. So you got here. What impressed you when you came here? You saw the campus and you started talking to faculty before you made the decision to attend. What impressed you the most?
Well, I would say the inclusiveness of everyone around campus. People from the faculty senate, our senate, the academic staff, everyone is involved in all of the processes around campus. How well
students
are...
That's sort of what the Chancellor was talking about earlier with the planning process here, that it isn't just top... I mean, you just don't listen to a couple of people and decide.
Yeah, and how students are empowered. You know, they're in charge of allocating a $420,000 budget to student organizations every year. That's something I've been involved with the last 3 years. So that's one thing that really impressed me, that they put that into the students' hands, and it's a pretty good process, I think.
Yeah. I'd just say one thing. When I came here, I'd been at two other schools, one in Michigan, one in Minnesota. I was impressed with the maturity of the student body here. And I think in large part because of what Mike just said, that they do have responsibility here and they're accountable. And that really makes a difference.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you talk to kids back in Neillsville. I'm sure they ask you where you go to college. I would assume that you recommend the university. Why would you recommend Stout?
Well, there are lots of different great aspects about Stout. You know, the student body is very friendly, goal-oriented. The camaraderie at Stout is amazing. You know, students from all around campus, you can go and talk to pretty much anybody. I've been down to, lacrosse, for example. I go and visit my friends every once in a while. And an example would be one day we were walking down to go get some food, and these guys drove by, and they're like, "Hey." And I was, you know, there's two guys from Stout that were with us, and we were both just like, "Hey." And the other guys were just kind of like, they just kept walking, and I was just like, "What is going on here?" So that's one thing, just the student body in general and the culture of the campus.
You have a younger brother as a UW Stout student.
I do.
I guess the family really likes likes the
definitely,
education.
Definitely. Well, my little brother, he's been to visit a few times last year. He liked the culture of the campus, and you know, I talk to him a lot about the different things that I do on campus and my program. And one day, we hope to have our own company, hopefully involved with biofuel production.
Really?
And he's in the manufacturing engineering major as well, and he has a great passion for physics and just all-around science and learning.
Biofuels is obviously a very emerging tech. That's something we've been very interested in here too. I mean, I think we see this a lot where students come here and 5-10 years later they come back looking for employees.
I think too what we're trying to do more of is faculty student research so that we get students engaged in a very early age or time in their career in research with faculty, and that's going to lead to what Mike's talking about, a lot more entrepreneurship.
You work a lot with faculty here? I mean, hands-on sort of way?
Definitely. My program is pretty much all hands-on. From the first day
you get
there.
You don't have a lot of professors standing up in front of a chalkboard lecturing?
Well, there are some as well, but you know, from the first day when you start Introduction to Engineering Materials, you're doing a lab every single Friday, Thursday, whatever it is, and you're doing anything from Rockwell hardness testing and all kinds of things like that. You get into the plastics class, you learn all the different plastics processes, you know, thermoforming.
Sure.
So, you know, everything, all your classes pretty much have labs that go along with them, and you're doing hands-on processes where you go to a bigger school, you might not have something like that.
I did one story. I walked the dorms yesterday, handed out cookies to the freshmen. I met a freshman, though, that he's in industrial design. His first project was to make a chair with a platform that rocked, that had no fasteners, had it fit perfectly, and that he could sit on. And I saw he finished that, and actually that was his very first hands-on lab project, and it's a magnificent example of what Stout is known for.
And it goes right along with the Polytechnic thing, you know.
Exactly.
It's hands-on, minds-on, so...
And that's, I mean, what he talked about, what you talked about, that's what James Huff Stout envisioned. I mean, this school has stayed true to its mission since 1891.
And I would say, too, you mentioned Polytechnic. We are a Polytechnic now, the latest, most recent public Polytechnic. And if you look at the school that I admire so much, it's Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. That's exactly what they do as well. We're almost a mirror image of who they are and how we, and our philosophy of education and how we operate.
It seems, we talk about the Polytechnic designation a lot around here, obviously. It seems that we've seen a sea change in among faculty, staff, and especially students, where they may not understand everything what we mean about Polytechnic, but A, they accept it, and B, they're starting to get it. Is that your perception as well? I just attended a listening session. People aren't asking anymore, what do you mean by that? It's like, what are we going to do with it? So it looks like we've really overcome at least that marketing hump.
Definitely, and I think that a lot of the students do understand what it is now. You know, there were some that were worried at first because they didn't really know what it meant. Yeah. And, you know, it's not as common in the Midwest. So
it's not common at all.
Right. So after people were explained what it was, and the table tents and the posters in the bathrooms, I think, really do help. And, you know, just talking to students, I go, and people ask me all the time what polytechnic means. I was at the career conference, as you were talking about earlier, and I said Wisconsin's Polytech on my resume. And employer was asking about what does polytechnic mean, so I explained it to him, and he was just fascinated.
Well, that's good. And it's obviously our job to keep explaining that, and we're working on it. But I do think that we've made some significant inroads. I mean, we don't get the kinds of questions that we, a year ago, for example.
No, and I talk to admissions virtually every week, and now we start the recruiting for 2008 and ask them what's the impact of the polytechnic designation, and there is no negative impact at all. It's a positive impact.
And I also would say that a lot of departments on campus have done a wonderful job both embracing polytechnic and explaining it. For example, the career conference. So we produced a piece that we gave out, that Career Services gave out to 300 employers. That it was just targeted to them to explain to them what polytechnic means. And we're obviously working on that every day to explain it and to make sure that people understand just the advantages that it has for UW-Stout. You've spent, obviously, your whole career here at Stout involved in student government. That's not something for everybody. It's sometimes not for the weak. Well, you know, it's student government. Any government can get a little contentious at times. What attracted you to student government?
Well, actually, one of the executives was on my floor when I was a freshman, and
you got coerced.
Yeah, I had a lot of conversations with him, and he was actually the financial affairs director. So, like I had said, I was involved with financial affairs the last 3 years. Before I came to the president, so just talking to him, and I just really like the idea of students being involved with the whole budget process, you know, being able to make a difference on campus when it comes to all kinds of issues.
I think, I've been here now 20 years, and I can think of one time SSA had weak leadership in all these years, and so it's been a phenomenal support system for us as well.
But you also work hard in incorporating them in the government structure. I mean, they sit on the Chancellor's Advisory Council. Right. I mean, they have a seat at the table.
That's right.
Yeah, shared governance is very strong on our campus. We go to these student reps meetings with all the other UW schools, and they have nothing. I mean, they have some shared governance, but, you know, you look at the technology, for an example. A student chairs the technology fee. I was talking to one student, I believe he was from Whitewater. They don't even have a student rep on their technology fee. I mean, I'm not sure if it was Whitewater, but I was just blown away by that. And students are just fascinated every time we talk about shared governance when we go to those meetings.
I think a lot of times their student government associations are treated by the administration or others on campus as, well, what can you do for us? I mean, you go out and get the students to do this rather than asking. The flip side is asking them, what do you think we should do, valuing their opinions and going forward with it.
And I think the student body is always given good feedback, good opinions, good questions, good analysis, good criticisms.
Do students, because you are, you know, president, do you get students come up to you all the time with opinions? You know, why aren't we doing this? Why we should be doing this? This is good. You know, you get that a lot.
Oh, yeah. I have students complaining all the time to me. I have students saying, you know, what's good all the time. For an example, I think it was yesterday, a student came in and complained about the temperature in different buildings. So
you can be a chancellor.
Yeah, that's good training for a chancellor.
Yeah. So, you know, I got on the phone and called some people and asked about the temperatures in the different buildings. And, you know, when it's coming fall to winter, it's, you know, there's a change over time. So,
Has your family been involved in government? I mean, you come from a long list of...
Not typically, but my dad is on the town board.
So he gets, why isn't my road plowed?
Yeah, back in Hatfield, Wisconsin. So.
You're a manufacturing engineering student. We talked a little bit about that earlier. What do you like about that program?
Well, not only all the hands-on things like I talked about earlier, but to further that, I would say, when you're a senior or super senior, you design a whole machine and you build that machine. So when you have sometimes, not always, but most of the time, you have companies come and they want a machine. For an example, Hormel, I believe it was 1 or 2 years ago, they had the students build a ham unwrapping thing to take the wrapper off the ham to process it.
Right.
So, you know, our machines are actually being used in actual industry, and that's one thing that really attracted me to the program when I got here. When I, like, because, you know, I switched from applied math, and just the idea of, you know, me getting hands-on experience making a machine when I'm a senior, it was just crazy. So
we have actually won competitions against Big Ten schools out of that program.
Yeah. Wow. Our SAE, which is the Society of Automotive Engineers,
right.
Every year they compete. They build a car and compete. And I'm not personally involved with that. I'm a little busy otherwise, but I know a lot of the students that are involved in, you know, they do very well each year. They compete against all the Big Ten schools and some other, Michigan Tech school. And they do well every year. They usually, if they don't win, they place in the top three or four. So
another part of this where we place very, very high, obviously, is you graduate. We talked about this earlier with a chance. You graduate from here. We have a 97% placement rate. What did that play at all when you deciding to come here? I mean,
definitely.
We can all you get your diploma. We can almost guarantee you're going to get a job.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. You know, I talked to Rich Rothhaug when I was trying to decide what I wanted to do, and he was just talking about the job opportunities after you graduate. And the fact
you already starting to get.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, I handed out maybe 20-25 resumes at our last career conference, and it was pretty promising, but. You know, with our major, you can go out and be anything when it comes to engineering almost. You can be a quality engineer, a process engineer, design engineer. Sometimes they even hire our students as electrical engineers. So, you know, all around, just anything you want to go into, it's very neat.
Well, that's good. Anything you want to add?
No, I just think that we have captured a student that is a type we want on this campus, and Mike's done a great job, and he epitomizes, I think, our philosophy of education, a real hands-on approach, applied learning, and that's where the 21st century is.
And someone who obviously wants to use UW-Stout for a very definitive career when they graduate from here. And
definitely.
Well, thanks a lot for coming.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
That's going to bring us to another edition of About Stout. But first of all, I have to talk about my tie. This tie came from Lisa Walter, who is our police chief. And she just returned from China, where she participated in the Special Olympics torch run. And she was one of the only police chiefs from Wisconsin and one of the few from the Midwest that was going. She brought me back this tie. Lisa blogged her whole adventure. It's on the web. We can help you find it. But she brought back this tie, which I am very proud to wear. It was made in China, shipped over to the United States for some reason, then shipped back to China, and that's where she bought it.
And we're proud of Lisa Walter taking part in that Special Olympics as well.
That was a great honor for UW-Stout, for Lisa personally, for our police department. She's a great athlete. She beat me by this much in the buckshot run this year. I could have had her at the end, too, but I didn't, out of respect. I'd like to thank both the Chancellor and Mike Lumpke for joining me today and hope that you can join us for the next program. We'll be back soon with another edition of About Stout.